Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Our subject this morning is, once again, sanctification. Now, according to the Scriptures, sanctification is to be made holy. To be made holy. You read about holiness, you read about sanctification, it's the same thing. God the Father set His people apart, sanctified His people in Christ in divine election when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God the Son sanctified all those God the Father gave to Him by His blood on the cross. And God the Holy Spirit sanctifies His people in regeneration in the new birth when He comes and cleanses us and washes us clean in the blood of Christ. That's how we're sanctified. Now, last time we saw that sanctification is of God through Christ. This is typified in the fact that the Lord sent Moses to sanctify the children of Israel. Look here in Exodus 13:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now remember, at this time, the Passover lamb had already been sacrificed. God, through that Passover lamb, He had slain all the firstborn in type, in ceremony, in that Passover lamb. And they were already redeemed out of Israel, already sanctified by the Lord through that Passover lamb. Now, the Lord sends Moses and says, now you go and you sanctify them to me in their experience of it. You go tell them they're mine. You go separate them and make them to know they belong to me. Now, what that pictures is Christ, our Passover lamb, sanctified all His people on the cross. And He arose from the grave, and God the Father sends Him forth. He comes forth through the preaching of the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, and He sanctifies His people in the heart. You get that? That's the picture here. And then after that, we saw in verses 3 through 10, that sanctification is through the hearing of faith, through the hearing of the gospel of Christ, not through the hearing of works. As soon as God told Moses to go sanctify the firstborn, the first thing Moses did is he went and preached to the children of Israel. And that's how we're sanctified, through the preaching of the works of Christ, the preaching that declares what God has done for His people in Christ. And He gave them the ordinance of the Passover, and He gave them the ordinance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that feast was to remind them, constantly remind them, that God had sanctified them by redeeming them out through that Passover lamb, that God did it. He brought them out of bondage. And you and I, we don't have to observe the Passover. We observe the Lord's table. And we don't have the Passover to remind us. We have this feast, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread to remind us. We have this feast of the gospel. Remember Paul said, let us keep the feast, this gospel feast. Because Christ our Passover is sacrificed for. You are leavened because Christ our Passover is sanctified for. So this was a picture of hearing the gospel preached. That's how we're sanctified. But then God gave them another thing to do that also pictured the hearing of faith. This also pictured the preaching of the gospel, the hearing of the gospel by which His people are sanctified. This is what we're going to look at today. It was the sanctification of all the firstborn. Now look at Exodus 13:11. This is picturing the hearing of faith. It pictures because it was a constant reminder to them that God sanctified them. And that's what the gospel is. It's a constant reminder that we didn't sanctify ourselves. God sanctified us. All right, watch. Exodus 13:11. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. And every firstling, every firstborn that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. And therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. That is, all that openeth the womb, being males. He sanctified them because they're his. They're the Lord's. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. He wouldn't slay the firstborn children, so God said, redeem them. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Now again, this is another picture of the hearing of faith by which we are sanctified. But this time we're focusing on the Lamb. And I've titled this Sanctification by Christ the Lamb, because that's the focus here. Sanctification by Christ the Lamb. Now, like the law of the firstborn constantly reminded them, they were sanctified through the redemption of that Passover lamb. That's what it constantly reminded them. They were sanctified through the redemption by that Passover lamb. So we're constantly reminded in the gospel that we're sanctified, made holy, through the redemption of Christ the Lamb. That's the message. All right, first of all, they were reminded that all that they are and all that they possess belonged to the Lord. They were His. This is what they were reminded of by this law of the firstborn. Every time they observed it, they were reminded, we and everything we are belongs to the Lord. Look at verse 11. It shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart. That's what sanctification is. You set apart unto the Lord. It's to be set apart, consecrated unto the Lord. That's sanctification. You set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. Let me tell you why the Lord said do this. In Numbers 8:17, this is what God said. Because all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. Now get that statement. God said, on the day I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt. That was the day he smote the Passover lamb in place of Israel's firstborn. He said, in that day, when I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them. I sanctified them. And I did it for myself. Now remember that statement. So, all the animals that God said were clean animals, God told them which animals, which beasts were clean animals. Those were ones God would receive. And so all the clean animals that were the firstborn, they were to set them apart unto the Lord. And the margin reads, it says, cause to pass over. Here's what they would do. Get the picture here now. They would come to the altar. There would be a fire burning. They would take this firstborn lamb, this firstborn clean animal, slay it, make it to pass through that fire as a burnt offering. Smoke goes up to God, sweet smelling savor to God, and it passed through that fire to the Lord. Unto the Lord. Now, the sacrifice passing through that fire to God is a picture of Christ passing through the fiery justice of God, satisfying the justice of God so that it came up to God a sweet-smelling savor. His law's been honored. His justice has been satisfied. And so, when Christ passed through that fiery justice, all those God gave to Christ in divine election were in Christ, and we passed through that fiery justice. So that now we're clean. We're clean. And God will receive us. Those true believers there that were born of the Holy Spirit, they were offering those firstborn clean animals as a burnt offering to God to thank the Lord. That's what a burnt offering was for. They were thanking the Lord. They were acknowledging to the Lord that they themselves and everything they possessed belonged to the Lord. Everything they had been given them from the Lord, and they themselves belonged to the Lord. That's what they were declaring. The true believer knew what was pictured in the ceremony. Born of the Holy Spirit, taught of God. They knew that the picture was that they died under the justice of God in that Passover lamb. That Passover lamb being slain was a picture of the fiery justice of God coming down on Christ and slaying Christ in the room instead of His people. You see, everybody who is a sinner must die because God's justice demands it. You and I have all sinned. We all have to die under God's justice. You are either going to die in yourself for all eternity, a living death in hell, or God has provided the Lamb to die in the place of His people. We don't know who His people are. We preach this gospel, and through it, God's going to sanctify us in the heart and bring all that He sanctified at Calvary to cast our care on Him. Are you one He died for? How do you know if I'm one He died for? You're going to believe this gospel by God's grace. It's the only way. The only way. The true believer knew what this picture. He knew what this picture. He knew that it was a picture of the Passover Lamb. The coming Messiah. Christ our Passover. And so by sacrificing those firstborn animals to God, they were acknowledging just what God declared. They were acknowledging that on the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. They are mine. Now remember, the firstborn are like the first fruits. Remember, God also told them to offer Him all the first fruits. And whatever the first is, that's what the rest is. And so, the firstborn represent all God's elect. Christ is the firstborn Son of God. And all His elect are firstborn sons in Christ. Now, you and I, who are firstborn sons in Christ, we don't have to offer up our firstborn. We don't have to do that. We're not under the law. We don't have to do that now. We are the firstborn typified here. We don't have to offer up lambs or any of our firstborn animals or anything like that. We don't have to do that. We are the firstborn in Christ, the firstborn. You know, Christ Himself is truly the firstborn, and He's the only one who's truly the first to ever open the womb. The womb is opened at conception. It's not opened at birth. You read that. Go study it. It's true. The womb is opened at conception. It's not opened at birth. Christ is the only one who opened the womb at birth because He was born of a virgin, so that He would not be sinful like those He came to redeem. And so, he's the one, you know, the scripture says when the days of Mary's purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Christ to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That's why they brought Christ there. But here's what was happening. Christ is the only one who ever fulfilled this law perfectly. The only one. And he's the only one who ever fulfilled all the law perfectly. And it's only because his people were in him that you and I, before God, have fulfilled the law perfectly. Christ did it for us. That's what we have here. We fulfilled that very law and all the law perfectly in Christ. And God says to you and me, in Christ, he says this, on the day that I smote every firstborn elect child, when I smote Christ my firstborn, I sanctified every firstborn elect child for myself. That's what he's teaching us here. Now, they were reminded when they offered up those firstborn clean animals, what we're reminded of when we hear this gospel preached. Every time they came and offered up that firstborn animal, they were reminded that they were made clean by the Lamb. And that's what we don't have to be reminded of it by the law and doing this ceremony. We're reminded of it by hearing the gospel preached. This is a picture of the hearing of faith. This is how God sanctifies us in the beginning and in our hearts and keeps us sanctified unto Him by continually hearing this message, by continually being reminded in the new man we're sanctified by God in Christ Jesus. Now, since we're holy by the blood of Christ, since we have been sanctified and made clean, we don't have to offer up clean animals. We're not under the law. We're under grace. So what is it you and I present to the Lord? How are we going to thank God and acknowledge to God that everything we are, that we ourselves belong to Him and everything we have belongs to Him? How are we going to acknowledge that everything we've received by God's grace from God? How are we going to acknowledge this? What are we going to present? Go to Romans 12. Here's the light and easy yoke we're under. We're not under that law. We're under grace. So here's the light and easy yoke He's given to you and me. Look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See? And you know what He didn't say there? He didn't say, I command you by the law of Moses. Nope. Because we're not under the law. We're under grace. I beseech you, by the gospel, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see that? We belong to God. And we're holy because what God did in giving His Son. So it's only reasonable, seeing what God did to make us holy, it's only reasonable that we present our bodies to God, living unto God. What's that mean? Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own. If you're born of God, you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See there? That's such a light and easy yoke that Christ has given us compared to what they were under the law. You and I simply live unto God, praising Him, honoring Him, glorifying Him in everything we do. What a light and easy yoke. When you love somebody and you see that they've given everything for you, you children, your fathers and mothers have loved you and they've given themselves for you. They've done everything they can for you and they've given you everything you possess. Is it difficult for you to live your life in such a way that you honor them. Not difficult at all, is it? Because you love them. You don't have to be commanded to do it because the law says do it. You command, you do it because of the mercy they've shown you, because you love them. That's the law we're under. That's the law we're under. All right, secondly, let's go back to Exodus 13. They were reminded that the reason that they were sanctified and clean is because a clean lamb redeemed them who were unclean. They were constantly reminded the way they were made clean, sanctified, holy unto God is because they were unclean and a clean lamb redeemed them. Now look here in Exodus 13:13. Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. Now an ass, God said it, it's true, an ass is a wild, stubborn, and God said an unclean animal. A wild, stubborn, unclean animal that will not obey. That's what an ass is. When you see donkeys in westerns and things like that in the movies and they look like they're just gentle and docile, those are trained donkeys. My parents had an ass. It won't do anything you tell it to do. And if you whip it and you try to make it do what you'd have it do, it will just sit down and show you, I'm not doing anything. That wild, unclean ass is a picture of every child of Adam. That's a picture of you and me by nature. Every one of us. That is us. For vain man would be wise, Job said, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. The wild ass will not bear the yoke. The wild ass has got to be broken. And none of God's elect will bear the yoke of Christ until we've been broken. We have to be broken. A wild ass used to the wilderness snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. That's a picture of you and me. Now understand, God would not receive an unclean ass unless that unclean ass had been sanctified and made clean. He wouldn't receive it. Now, this man hears this, and he's got an ass there, and he's got a lamb over here, and he don't want to kill that lamb for this old dirty, unclean, stubborn ass. Here's what I'll do. I'll just take this ass and I'll just separate it myself. And I'll just put it over here in the field with the lambs. And I'll trick God. I'll take some lamb's wool and I'll just put it over that donkey. And I'll make him look like a lamb. I'll wash him real good, clean him up first, put some perfume on him so it smells good. And then I'll cover him up in lamb's wool and make him look like a clean lamb. And I'll say, oh, he's sanctified. But he won't be clean and he won't be sanctified. Not before God. And churches in religion are giving men rules and regulations and things for them to do, and men themselves are separating themselves, are being separated by others, and putting on an outward form that looks like sanctification, but before God, they're still just unclean asses. And that's a fact. Sanctification is not of us. We can't sanctify ourselves, and no man can sanctify you. We have to be sanctified by God. Job said, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. You and I can't make ourselves. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one. Sanctification is entirely of the Lord apart from our works. In order for us to be clean and sanctified, that unclean ass had to be redeemed by a clean lamb dying in its place, or else God said, break its neck. That's because you and me, who are unclean asses by nature, God says we're either going to have to die under the justice of God, or a clean lamb's going to have to die in our place to sanctify us and make us holy to God. Thank God He gave His Son. And His Son is the clean lamb who came and laid down His life and sanctified His people. Now be sure to get what God's teaching in the type in our text. Be sure to get this. His people are perfected in sanctification, made perfectly holy, sanctified unto God by the blood of Christ, by which we're also redeemed. You get that? Go with me to Hebrews 10. Let's see this in the Scriptures. Hebrews 10. I know that men everywhere, they hear us preach this, and they say, well, you confuse sanctification, you confuse holiness and righteousness. No, we're not. No, we're not. They're vitally linked, and they're both by the blood of Christ. Look here. Hebrews 10:9. Then said I, this is Christ speaking, or then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He had to come do the will of God because you and I couldn't. None of those He came to sanctify could do it. He came to do the will of God, to keep God's law perfectly, to go under the justice of God and redeem us from all our sins. Look at this. He taketh away the first, that is that first covenant law of works, that He may establish the second, the everlasting covenant of grace. Now watch. By the which will, by that will, He said, I come to do Thy will, O God. And by that will, by His will, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Look at verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And He says in those verses in between, men right now are offering sacrifices that can never take away sin. They can't make you holy. They can't make you righteous. Men are doing the same thing today. Our sanctification is the same one who is our righteousness and our redemption is Christ. It's Christ. He's sanctification and righteousness and redemption. And then God showed the result of this when what Christ accomplished in their firstborn sons. Go back to Exodus 13:13. At the end of verse 13, He says, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now, they paid a redemption price, and they bought their firstborn sons. That's what they were doing. Now, by the blood of Christ, He's bought His people to Himself. That's what redemption is to buy back. And He has bought His people back from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is you and I can't do it. That's the curse of it. So for Him to buy us, Christ had to go and be made that curse. He had to be made the curse for us to redeem us from the curse. And that's the price He had to pay. And He paid it and He redeemed us. And so now all God's elect are God's purchased possession, His holy firstborn sons. We belong to Him. Go to 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 15. This is what God says to us now. 1 Peter 1:15. Look at this. Look at the connection between holiness and redemption. Verse 15. As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is conduct. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Look at verse 18. Here's our constraint. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The clean lamb died for us who are unclean. That's how we were made holy. That's how we were made holy. That's amazing grace, brethren. Christ's blood has bought all God's elect so that we're sanctified, we're perfected forever, with God's purchased possession, we're His firstborn sons. And by this gospel, by telling us this, He keeps us sanctified unto Him. And here's how holiness manifests itself. Read on in 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls, that's holiness, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And seeing that you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, end of verse 25 says, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Since our flesh is grass," he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "wherefore lay aside your fleshly man. Lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." That's the same thing I preached to you Thursday night. That's the same thing. Being sanctified by God, set apart by God, the law we're under is to love one another so that we can have this gospel and be constantly reminded our sanctification is by God through the blood of the Lamb. All right, thirdly. Just as they were reminded and kept sanctified unto God through this constant reminder of this law of the firstborn, just like they were reminded, you and I are constantly reminded through hearing the gospel preached. Look here, Exodus 13:14. "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Why are you doing this? What does this mean?" That's the same as us preaching this gospel and one of our children coming up and saying, "Why are you preaching this gospel? Why is this the message you always preach?" Here's what our answer is. "Because by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of slavery." The Lord brought us out. He sanctified us out from the bondage of sin, death, and hell, and the devil. That's why we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's why we don't preach man's works, we preach God's works. That's why. Look, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, when the devil would not let us go, the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast." He slew us in Christ the firstborn, our Passover lamb. "And therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord, I present to Him my own body." Because I'm the firstborn. "I present to Him my own body. And I live trying to honor and glorify Him in everything I do. Because I'm holy and sanctified and righteous in Christ Jesus the Lord." That was the picture that they were showing their children. And it's by this gospel that we're constrained to do everything to Christ's glory. That's what sanctification is. He separates us. He's made us holy. You don't get more holy. You either are holy or you are not holy. When He's made you holy, it's just like justification. You're either justified or you're not. You're either righteous or you're not. When He's made you holy, just like when you were born, you were a human being. You didn't grow into more of a human being. You're as much of a human you're going to be till you die. You grow in that state of being a human. And we don't grow more holy. We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord as His holy people. We're holy. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son and made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. To be made meet means I'm fit to go right into heaven right now with God's saints in my new spirit. Nothing has to be done to the new man within me. He's holy. I can go right in and be with God's people. That's the only way God will hear me now. Because it's through Christ who's made me holy. We have that holiness without which no man will see the Lord. Did the thief on the cross have it? Then it wasn't by works, was it? Because his hands and his feet was nailed to a cross. And God said, you got to have that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. He saw the Lord. He had it, didn't he? It's being given a new holy heart. Being created anew by God. And this message constrains us to live to His glory. Look at verse 16. "It shall be for a token upon thine hand." This law of the sanctification, when they did it, it reminded them that their hands are to be used for God's purpose, to serve the Lord, to glorify the Lord. It was a constant token, a constant sign, a constant reminder upon their hand. Our New Testament version of that is this: "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then look, by this gospel, we're kept looking only to Christ. Look, He said, "And it'll be for frontlets between thine eyes." What does the Scripture say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It keeps us looking to Christ only. To Christ only. To Christ only. And we're kept giving Him all the praise and all the glory. Look here. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. As it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You can't glory only in the Lord if you have a part of sanctification. You can't. Those preachers that are telling sinners that they're sanctified by going back to the law and keeping the law, they're glorying in themselves. The only way you can glory only in the Lord is if Christ has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything. Amen. Let's stand together. Take about an 8-minute break. We'll come back. When you hear the piano, come back. In case anybody's wondering what the big clunky piece of furniture in the kitchen is, it's our portable baptistry. And I think we're going to take the wheels off of it so it'll match the island a little bit better. And we're going to put some Formica on it so that it's got a lid on it. And we're going to use it to put food on. We're going to stain it and all that. So, I mean, we only use that thing ever so often. So, a big expensive piece of furniture like that, we might as well use it for something. So, we're going to try to use it for a table. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brethren, thank you for this day. Thank you for free, complete sanctification in Christ our Lamb. Thank you that He redeemed us, that He perfected us forever. What grace, Lord. What amazing grace that You come and give us new hearts and sprinkle our bodies and wash us and let us come near unto a holy God like Yourself. Lord, don't let us ever look to ourselves for any aspect of our salvation, especially not our sanctification. Keep us ever, ever, ever looking to Christ. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask You to be with us today and meet with us. For Christ's sake, for His honor and glory, in His name we pray. Amen.